We also supposed to have a presentation from someone from Citrix. And I think some of you will be Citrix, that's why you're here. But in the last minute, he canceled. So apologies for that. However, we can still keep the show going, and I'm sure we can think of something. The presentation from a colleague from IBS mentioned something about the studies of PND women in IT, and I thought probably it might be worth mentioning some of the top IT jobs that are in demand right now in the world. So you ladies out there might want to think about going into this kind of role. Some of the jobs we have is top that I think that are attracting a lot of attention right now is security specialist. So IT network security. So if you're interested in that, that's also one of the top grossing jobs. We've got virtual systems managers. So we talked about virtualization with VMware, as you know, that's also a job that is in high demand right now. And of course, network engineers, we cannot get enough of them. You Cisco people out there, those who want to be Cisco engineers, yes, network engineer job is also in high demand. Don't forget open source specialists. So Linux, Unix, those roles are also available. We also have software engineers and developers. I think in PNG we have a chronic shortage of software developers. That is a fact. And we always outsource software development to countries like India and China. And so if you want to make a career, a really good career, maybe software development might be something you want to consider. And also there is something, project management, IT project management. As you know, a lot of government departments rolling out the IT projects and they need people to manage them. So with your IT knowledge, and if you cross over to project management, makes a good blend. So something you might want to consider as well. There's something that's also coming up. It's called business and systems analyst. Someone calls it business informatics. So this is really people from the finance background who can apply knowledge into getting computer systems, information systems working for your organization. So finding that balance. It's called business informatics. So look into that. That is not a certification. It is, a formal education via university. So it is something you can look at. So those MIS managers, those kind of role actually fits into this well. And probably CTO, CIO roles as well. So business informatics, that's one of the big jobs right now that people are looking for using business and IT. So I thought maybe I'll just give you a heads up on what to look out for. And maybe if you are in an IT field and you feel like you're bored and you want to make a transition, so don't be an accountant, please. You can always just change roles. There was also a statement about, there was that my good friend was conducting a survey about asking a question whether IT was for women, and so a lot of the question was somewhere not sure. This is generally speaking, I think IT is really great for women. First and foremost is because it's a secure job, meaning you don't go out at all. Go out often, you are bound to a desk. And also, and for security reasons, people who travel a lot might be for males, but I think IT is really good for women. We have at Daltron, we have some really good experienced engineers, project managers that are all women. So I believe that IT is a really a good blend for women to get into. So don't be afraid to get into IT. Okay, is anyone counting how long do I have? I thought that maybe before I get into my presentation, and I have 3 hours with you, sadly, but it's true. I have 3 hours with you, and I thought, is anyone out there in the audience Today we would like any special topic that you want someone from the audience to cover, if I don't know, or someone from a telephone panel to help. Maybe a few discussions around it. So if you got any something that's still lacking behind your mind, you want to talk about ID. Anyone? So should I make a suggestion or should I just wait? Yes, Ella. Okay, so as you know, PNG government has taken on the possibility of putting national broadband network throughout PNG. We are basically doing what the Australians are doing. So the ABN, the Australian Broadband Network, we're calling ours NBN, National Broadband Network. Does anyone know the status of this and where we are? Maybe anyone from the Ministry of ICT and Communication here? Or anyone working closely with NICTA? Or maybe the NICTA guys may be here. Maybe they give us some update on where we are at with this broadband network. Because it is interesting, it's not going to affect everybody. We haven't been approached by can you hear me? We have not been approached by NICTA or ICT Department Ministry for ICT and Communication. So I'm not sure where we are at regarding this. Sorry, Mela. Anybody else got anything you wanna to talk about? Who wants to talk about virtualization? My favorite topic. Nah. Okay. So let's just get back to what we are here for. Really, it wasn't about the survey, it wasn't about Dell, it was about internet, wasn't it? Okay. Who saw an article in the paper yesterday on a national, if I remember correctly, and my memory is that good? Page 6 on a national? Who saw that article? How many of you have read that article? Please put your hands up. Okay. So in that article, a US official, government official was here, and he made an observation that internet in PNG is too expensive. The word is too expensive. So who agrees with him that internet in PNG is too expensive?
Everyone agrees.
I agree too. Internet is expensive. even from a person who directly manages ISP and internet services, I think if I were to buy internet from my own pocket, I think I wouldn't afford it. I wouldn't be able to watch my YouTube as much as I want to, because it's too expensive. So. I thought I want to talk to you about PNG Computer Society first. If you are not a member, as the MC has mentioned, please sign up, because it will be a great organization to get into. So if you haven't, please do that. PNG Computer Society, in a nutshell, is about ICT professionals getting together and exchanging ideas and talk about latest trends in the IT that is of value to your organization and to you. That is really the key, to exchange ideas. So if you're not a member of PNG Computer Society, please become a member or try and get your employer to get you signed up for to be a member. If you're a student, it's a great time to meet professionals in the IT, exchange ideas, and to get the best out of these kind of conferences, you need to go up and talk to the people who are here, from the sponsors who are doing the presentation, just to get some ideas on where things are. Maybe you are an IT student, you want to know where you're going in terms of your career. Please take this is a great opportunity. Ask them for the email, for the contact. The key is that make use of these events as much as you can, because there's great value in this. Okay? So please be a member of the European Society if you are. Okay. Fact. Cost of travel in PNG is high. Am I right? You can go from Brisbane to New Zealand just under $150. Cost of real estate in PNG is high. Cost of food is high. I can't eat lamb chops as much as I want to. So yes, things in PNG are high. Even the cost of starting a business in PNG is high. That is a true fact. It's in Fiji, and Ashwin is from Fiji, he will testify to this. You can walk into you can go into Fiji and be up and running in two to 3 days as an investor to set up, to get your company registered, to get your logistics, and you can be up and running within a week. In PNG, they have advisors for these things. They have consultants. What happens? So let's say you are a mining company or you're an employment company to recruit. What do? You send people ahead of you. It's for a convoy. So they pay them like $100,000 for a year, just for a 3 month stint. They all come here and they set up their offices somewhere and they go about finding out where things are at in terms of who should they go to, where is our good old telecom, where is where can I get a good internet, whom should I go and get sign up for a real estate to get a good place. It takes a convoy or envoy to do that. Then they go back and then they feed it into their public relations people. And those public relations people then feed it into their finance people. Then they send the operators out to the country. So cost of business is high. Fact. Internet cost in PNG is high. That is a fact. For most Papua New Guineans, internet access is a luxury. Majority of schools in PNG have some form of computer labs, but those computers don't mean much. Internet access in schools is high, and some schools don't even want to go there because of the recurring cost of internet. So we are enjoying our internet from homes, from our offices. Just cast the thought that this is actually business where actually touches everyone's life. I know this because by 7 o'clock, if someone's home internet is down, I get a phone call from them saying, "Oh, I can't send an email for someone, so you're causing me grief." So it touches people's lives, internet. So obviously, it means something to everybody, and that's why in the media recently, there's a lot of threat about internet being high. Why is it, and what are we doing about it to do at least lessen the burden of cost, make it affordable to the mass public? Just a few housekeeping before I start. When I'm talking about internet, I'm talking about information that one needs to access on the World Wide Web that empowers him or her to make informed decisions, improve his or her economic standing. That is what internet is to most of our Papua New Guineans. Because don't forget, we are a developing country, and information is key. Information is power. So once we get access to information on food prices, on taxes, on government regulations, we can better participate in the country, in the economy. Without that information, we cannot do much. So I am not talking about fast internet. Okay? I'm not talking about clicking on YouTube and it plays forever with a buffering. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about internet that means to a small business and the individuals at home who need it the most. That's the internet, the kind of internet that I'm referring to. If you want super fast internet, then maybe you can invest in 1 fiber. Or maybe we can pressure your member to make sure this national broadband network becomes a reality in the next 75 years before we die. In the title of my presentation, I said making internet affordable. So I've defined what internet is. I need to define what affordable means. Okay, so if you, based on figures I picked up of the website of the internet, don't go beyond this. This is just indicative only. So they may be true, they may not be. But from what I can calculate, internet cost is 4 times higher than average person's affordability in terms of you can afford it or not. It's 4 times more, costs you 4 times more. Now, this GDP thing I'm talking about here is just purely GDP only. There are some expenses you need to remove as well from it. So it might come down even more. Okay, for example, there's a study done in Kenya that internet costs about 40 times higher than someone's ability to actually even think about it. So, cost of internet is high. So, that's what I mean by affordable. If you, in a, with your GDP, you do all the calculations, that's how much it's going to give you. So, if you are, if majority of the country are not able to get internet, why are we even talking about internet when we can't even afford it? Yes. So people always ask, so where all these costs coming from? Recently, I think 3 years ago, Telecom invested in our submarine cable that runs from here, Elevate Exchange, to Sydney, very well, frankly. That's a 1 gigabyte fiber. Telecom guys will correct me if my information is inaccurate. And that actually was a milestone in our country's access to the internet. Because previously, Telecom had VSATs, so everything we had was out of satellite, so it was slow. And there were some little fibers that were still we were using, but it was old, and they're not giving us the performance. So once Telecom signed up to that, actually became a partner to Telstra, which I can remember correctly, we actually started getting better performance from that submarine cable. Last time I checked with Telecom, because we were from an ISP perspective, we are regular chat with Telecom. We only use about 10% of the capacity of that bandwidth. So where is all this bandwidth that's sitting idle doing, and what is it for? So that's a question. So, what's the cost of internet, delivering internet, a megabyte to the end user, to the mass population? Like there's a cost for cable operators. So basically, Telecom went into an agreement with cable operator and laid down this fiber between here and Telstra. So there is a cost associated with that. So companies like that take time to pay off that investment, so what we call return of investment calculation. So it's taking a while, maybe 10 years, 5 years, but I don't know how much is the ROI. So there is a first cost that comes onto your megabyte which you're trying to download from YouTube. And then there's a cost from Telecom to the internet service providers. There's a fee that is given just onto the ISPs. Even just for us as an ISP to get access to that bandwidth, we pay for it. So there's a cost associated with it. And then there's a government tax and levies on top of that. So we bring in equipment and government actually charges for that. There is this thing called local loop. I'll go into that in a little bit more detail later. But the local loop cost is actually contributes to about 60% of the internet traffic, of the internet cost that you pay to your provider every month, every week, or every day that you use the internet. And of course, profit. Everybody is in the business of making money. Telephone is no different. And we need to make profit in order to sustain our cost, sustain our engineers that we keep to run our systems, and also to sustain our equipment and the spares and the replacements that we need to do upgrades every year. So all these are costs that you pay as a subscriber, consumer of the internet. So these are all the stakeholders of the internet space and who they are. And what I want to drill down to is the public. Public just wants affordable internet. That's basically it. We're not talking about streaming NRL games. No. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about be able to send email, be able to do Facebook, and be able to research and find information on crop prices, maybe checking stock rates if you're doing commodities over the internet. So I'm talking about this kind of internet. So this is where our concern is from Telkom as an ISP, is we think that the public needs to get access to the internet at an affordable price. Then of course we've got the telco operators, Telecom, Reach, Telstra, Reach, and ISP. Of course we need to make a profit. Because without profit, we have to just close up shop. So the question is, how do we drive down the cost of internet? How many of you voted in the last election? How many of you know your local member? Not many. How can we, as Papua New Guineans, force our government to reduce prices on utilities that is of benefit to us? We don't know our members. We need to pressure these people. It starts with the government. You need to find out to your members of parliament, and you need to start getting that agenda into their head that this cost of internet is of value to everybody's life, and we need to start talking to our members, global members, about how they can pressure the government to accept the fact that the cost of internet is high, and what can they do to reduce the cost. Cost of internet is broken into two. One is the cost that we, from the cable operator like Telecom outwards, that's the cost of internet that comes to them. And then there's the cost of internet from the local ISP down to the subscriber. So there's two components of that. And you can approach it either way you look at it, but the fact of the matter is that there's, in between those two various areas of cost, there are some you can influence and change, there are some you cannot. Okay? So, the key stakeholders, the key ministries, the key state-owned enterprises, the key institutions in the country need to take ownership of this. I'm talking about DICTA, I'm talking about ICCC, I'm talking about the Ministry of ICT and Communication, and then there are other ministries that are available that are doing similar work in the ICT space. They all need to put their hands up and say, yes, we've got a problem with internet, and here's what we want to do. I said earlier that the cost of internet, the largest cost of internet is in the local loop. What do I mean by local loop? I mean the infrastructure that is available that connects your home to your provider. That's called a local loop. It can be anything. It can be a wireless broadband. It can be a dial-up. It can be WiMAX. It can be ADSL. It can be e-video. It can be fiber, if you want. If you can be this line, whatever it is, you can get into your home. But that's what I mean, the local loop. The local loop is the biggest contributing factor to internet in the country. And why is that? Why is it? Because every operator needs to get that megabyte down to the subscriber. It costs money to deliver that to the customer. And they all have to recover the cost of setting up such an infrastructure. Okay? At Altron, we normally pay between 50,000 to 70,000 every month to people we co-locate with them in terms of using the towers, buildings. That is a cost to our business of 50,000 to 75,000 kina a month just for equipment to be hosted to someone here, somebody else's premises. That is a cost that is gets passed down to the subscriber. Now, why am I saying all this? Because this is important. People like Telecom, people like NICTA, people like IEEE, and the Ministry of Information and Communication should take note of this and start making provisions to make local loop cost negligible and let the ISPs fight it out in the price of the internet content itself. That's the only way, that's the fastest way we can bring a cost down. How do we do that? Example, it's just a crazy idea. We can say all the operators, Telecom included, get together and build a nationwide broadband network or nationwide WiMAX network and let them share that infrastructure and they will pay a monthly fee. Let people like NICTA come along and say, if you're going to be doing this for a business of delivering cost-effective internet to the to our population, we're going to waive the cost of licenses, any licenses. The government is to come and say, if you're bringing in equipment for the purpose of making internet available to everybody, we're going to go easy on the tax. We're going to actually lift the tax. You don't pay for anything. As long as you bring it in for the purpose of delivering internet to the population. This needs to happen. That's the only way we can see the price of internet come down. As I mentioned, if once the playing field is level, playing field must be level, some to this day, some people don't play fair. I'm not going to say who, but when we bring the local group, when the government start taking ownership of that and build it in a way that every telco, every cable operator, every ISP takes advantage of that, that's the only way we can reduce our cost. So, as a customer, you come and say, hey, Dolphin, we want to sign up for an internet. Yeah? So we will call up, say, example, a third party which we have set up to manage this WiMAX throughout Cosmosby. This is a third party entity, totally different from every other. Their job is to manage that network on behalf of our ISPs. They said, yes, we can give you a circuit, it's going to cost you about 10 kina per month, just for the circuit. Okay? That's it, that's the cost. So then they call up and say, yes, this person lives there, we can give wireless broadband there, WiMAX example, and it's only 30 bucks. We will promise it for you. He is coming to you as a customer specifically because you're giving him better value and service and therefore he wants to sign up with you. Or you can go to Data and say, you know, we want to sign up with you, Data. Or Telenet, or DigiCell, or whichever. But the important thing is that the playing field must be same. And in the local loop, it's not the same. That's why people charge different things. At Dolphin, we charge something called line rental. What is that line rental? It's taking into account all our costs that are involved in actually delivering the megabyte to the customer. It means power on the tower, equipment, spares, rental, the guys that manage it. So all these things come into play. Eventually, that how much we put 89 kina, which we charge, is actually very minimal, by the way. It's a personal to the customer. If we set up that independent body, look, this is just an idea, and I know that some of you are already thinking of where is it going with this. If we come up with this national broadband network, someone, third party, managing the actual last mile, or what they call a local loop infrastructure, increase the cost of internet right down. I've heard that Telecom is about to reduce its cost to the internet, to the ISPs. I don't think you might see any difference in your internet plan, your data, because of this reason. So, national broadband network is key. Having a a commonly owned infrastructure by all the operators together and relieving that burden from you guys for you, for us, as consumers of the internet, it brings in the cost of internet down. So that is the key message that we want to bring, that I want to leave with you all regarding this. So the onus is back to the government. You either think about putting this broadband network in reality, or you let the ISPs do their own network and cost it out to the subscribers, which they obviously will have to pay more. Cost of applying for a WiMAX band in PNG is around 150,000 kina for a 20 megahertz space per tower. That's actually a lot. That's already adding to the cost of our power cost, our rental, power rental was that. So who pays for that? It goes back to the subscriber. If the government can take that off, the cost of internet will drop off. Then we will have no more people from the US coming and telling us that cost of internet is high. Actually, they might not even move here, because cost of everything is low. Matter of fact, someone said in the newspaper that cost of buying a laptop in PNG is high, because people don't have access to the internet to research the latest prices, or to find out from someone in China who can supply on a better price, because they don't have access to the internet. I just want to leave that thought with you. Coming back to Dalfron, what are we doing? I'm sure most of you have seen our flyers. I'm sure most of you have talked to Teresa. Teresa, put your hand up. There's Teresa. Teresa is in charge of our sales for ISP. I'm sure some of you have already taken the process. We're actually approaching this internet thing in a different way. We are now, for the first time, releasing unlimited internet to the homes. Okay. And mind you, when I say internet, was my definition earlier on. We're not talking about the fastest internet, but we're talking about internet that you can actually use, that can be of something of meaning into your life. And we are focusing on homes. We're focusing mom and dad who have a grade 10, grade 11 student who wants to get the research done. We're talking about addressing issues with libraries, studies of, chronic studies of books in libraries. We're talking about grade 11 girls not getting raped by going to the library, on the way to the library, just to research something. We're looking at this. We're focusing on that kind of social problems, trying to make internet affordable to everybody. So that's what we're doing at Dalfron. We don't do installation charges. We got zero installation. So in a way, our guys are working for free. So we don't charge installation. We charge our line rental because we pay tax for equipment that we bring in. So we need to recover the cost just slightly, enough for us to get more equipment back into the country for you guys. We're also looking at building a local loop. We are in the process of upgrading our infrastructure, making it convenient, make it closer to you. And you know, our line rentals will drop as we become bigger in our network expansion. We're also working with Telecom to help us to reach customers that we cannot in the other areas. And also we will have a business service for small businesses or businesses that are wanting to use the internet from remote areas. We've got BSAT offering. So I'm sure you have seen the brochures about our unlimited internet. Okay. We've got about 80% coverage in Port Moresby. As we speak, we are upgrading, putting more coverage to residentials. We're putting our equipment in residential, Agero, in town, Boroko, all these places where there's mess, homes, where we're putting our equipment there. Who knows, if you have anyone who can help us with some infrastructure, or maybe a tall building somewhere in your suburb, maybe you don't have coverage, maybe you can help us negotiate for a fair price for us to put our equipment, make it affordable for you. Because the more we build infrastructure, the more it costs the customer. We don't want that. Until the national broadband network comes along, then we will just have to keep on keeping on and finding ways to get the best internet to you at an affordable price. So I'm sure you have seen all those flyers, and you may have some questions. Teresa is the best person to go and talk to. She's a little shy. Don't talk too fast, because she's really, really fast. Okay, so I think I'm gonna stop here, and I hope that this was just an eye opener on why internet in PNG is high, and also what we at Dalton are doing to help you get access to affordable internet. Thank you for listening. I have some more bags to give out.